We are Brightside.
Theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast. A home theater podcast, it's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
There we go. All right.
You're conducting us tonight, Deej.
Yeah, I was just like, hey, all right. Back at it.
Oh, yeah.
Missed you, Steve. It's been a while.
Hey, man. Yeah. Hey, man. I was going to say, I'm so tired. Someone had me up till gone midnight last night.
Yeah, exactly. And back at it again.
Hey, man. Oh, hello. John's in. Hey, John. John Thompson's
John,
dropped in.
How are we doing, buddy? Hey,
he's 24 hours late for the Big Bang Theory chat.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably why. Maybe he heard it and he's like, all right, I like these guys again.
Yeah, I'm grabbing it. Man. Yeah. So, so I'm hopped up on Red Bull, guys. Okay. It's the only way I'm staying awake.
Well.
Yeah, there we go. But it was fun. Very cool. Takeover Tuesday this week. Not to be missed.
No. What a guess. What a guess we had this week for those who haven't heard. It's featuring Steve. I was surprised it was only your third Takeover Tuesday. But
yeah, definitely is. Definitely. Yeah, that's the trilogy.
Yeah. There you go. Trilogy complete. There you go. John, how many have you done? You've done like a few because we did the Star Wars ones.
Any.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, not officially Takeover Tuesdays, have you, John?
I don't think I've done one. No.
Not official.
Oh, really? You just did the show with me then.
Yeah, right? I mean, I've done, like, you know, the very special episodes, you know, like the school specials, but I don't think I've ever been on a Takeover Tuesday because I've always been the co-host of the show.
Oh, guys, sorry. Hold on. Kind of started I got to take this. Way. I'll tell you why after.
Oh, okay.
Hold on without me.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't think you'd done a Takeover Tuesday, John. Not an official one.
No.
But then, like you say, you've always been on the show. You're part of the DNA.
Right. That's right.
You know, I'm the interloper, the usurper.
Well, not anymore.
Young contender.
I used to view it that way, but not anymore.
Now I'm part of the furniture. It's fine.
I guess. Man.
Yeah. But no, it was fun. It was good fun last night. And you know, as always with Deej, I mean, those listening, I mean, I thought we'll sit down. It'll be half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour tops because we didn't start till kind of 9:30. Our time. I mean, everyone listening to it will think it was early today. But it was 9:30 my time last night and we didn't finish till midnight.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, oh man, it just flew by as it always does. And as we always say, and it just kind of raced by. But we barely talked home theater.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how it goes.
Yeah, man, it was everything kind of but that. But it was interesting. It was really good fun. And again, it always just disappears. 2.5 hours, a blink of an eye, it has gone. But there we go. And we tried to steer clear of talking home theater experiences or anything that we might talk about tonight. So there's a couple of things, hopefully, that we'll get on to, that we're trying not to spoil. Nice. So we will see. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. Whilst we've got Deej otherwise indisposed, might as well say hi to everyone in the chat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to answer Captain AC3 real quick.
Go for it.
He's got a question for me down in the chat.
Mm.
Wants to know my favorite comic character. Green Lantern, Hal Jordan is my favorite comic book character.
Nice. Why?
Why? I don't know. Yeah. It goes back to as a kid. I think some of the first comics I ever remember buying were Green Lantern just because I thought he looked cool. And I've just always had a fondness for the character. And then, of course, the boring everybody's favorites, Batman and Spider-Man, would probably round out my top three, but definitely Green Lantern.
So. Oh, man. See, now I've got Kevin Smith. So I've never read a Green Lantern comic.
No.
So I've got Kevin Smith to thank for. Right, let me see. In brightest day, in blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight. Let those that worship evil's might beware my power, Green Lantern's light.
All right. Now do it as Bob Marley.
Oh, no. Is that right? Did I get that right?
You did get it right. Yes, I'm impressed.
Hey, there you go. See, I've seen too much.
I have that on a magnet on the side of my refrigerator.
Oh, do you? I do. Yeah. And that's the Green Lantern oath, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, and that's what Kevin Smith does to marry people.
He does.
that's great, isn't it? Very cool. You see, my favorite is definitely Spider-Man. As boring as that sounds, 100% Spider-Man. Only because, again, that's what I grew up reading, back to the Jack Kirby kind of little, when we used to go on long trips in New Zealand, which comparatively not that long because you're only 60 miles away from the ocean pretty much anywhere you right. go.
We go an hour to the grocery store. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Quite exactly that. But when we did these trips, my parents used to buy me little kind of like little small comic books, but they were like a mixture of comic book and book. So okay. You had all the illustrations, but it was in a book format.
Yeah.
And so they used to buy me those and I just got hooked on it. And so in the back of the car at all these trips when we were kids would just be cardboard boxes full of comics. And so I would just read those and just consume as many of them as I could. Right. And then went off them. When I came back to England when I was nine, so from New Zealand, I just stopped reading comics. That was it until my dad, as I said last week or week before, my dad just came back randomly one day with a comic and just said, "Yeah, Steve, look what I've just seen. Have that." And that was issue one of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And that just like blew my mind. It's like, oh my God, all the characters are in this. Everyone's in it.
Well, it's one of the first crossovers. I think that came before, Crisis on Infinite Earths, which was DC's big first crossover. Yeah. I don't remember which came first, but they were fairly, back to back to each other. But those were the first big crossover series for both. For both companies. And then just to follow up, Captain AC 3 says Silver Surfer for me. Great choice. Love Silver Surfer.
It's awesome. And then Steve Rat saying it was the Flash for him. So we've got more DC love than Marvel in the chat tonight. Fair enough.
Marvel for Jordan.
Our distinguished colleagues.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let me say hi to everyone as well. So we're just starting doing that. So hey, TSG, he was in first a little bit earlier this evening, said he was worried the show wasn't happening. The link came out a little bit later. I know DJ's had a busy 24 hours. Apologies. It went out a little bit later than normal, guys. Hi, TSG. Mikey's in. Hi, Mikey. Captain's in. We know that. Jack Lee, again, if you want to deploy your crikey now, John.
He's on a plane right now, so he won't be able to enjoy.
And he won't take offense.
That's true.
So Jack Lee was in, and he's going to pick up again at the end, I think, when he lands. It's a 50-minute flight he's got. Rach is in. Hey, Rach. And Steve Batt is in. He's got Take Over Tuesday ready to listen to tomorrow doing his chores. So fair play to him. Well, hope you got 2.5 hours worth of them, Steve. And then we've got PF Productions is in. In fact, I need to speak to Deej about that because PF wants to do a Take Over Tuesday.
Oh, cool.
So that's cool. Yeah, he said he makes documentaries and shares insight into getting them on Apple TV. That could be interesting to know. Yeah. Awesome. So we'll need to, definitely to remind Deej on that. So he's in, Jason Bell's in, first time here. So catching a live episode. So hi, Jason. Thanks for joining in. And then who else have we got? Dom's in as always. Bonsoir, Dom. Gorinda's in. Hey, Gorinda. Good to have you along again, mate. And then Yanks North is back. We remember you this time, mate. We're not going to pretend that you're in for the first time now. Not a couple of weeks ago. John, we've already said hello to John Thompson. Edward Colbreath's in. Hi, Edward. And then Jordan's in as well. So the whole gang, everybody's here, present and correct. So all good. We're just missing Deej, he's run out on us. He's left us to it.
He has, yeah.
So now we could just talk sport for the rest of the show. Sorry, guys, everyone tuning in. Oh, Skylake's just popped in as well. Hi, Skylake. Nice to see you, buddy. We're just waiting for one of our number who has been caught short. We don't actually know why he's gone.
No, just call. Yeah.
Yeah. Just let us know. And I can't start talking about stuff because I can't put anything up on the screen.
No, same.
Cool. Here we go. What have we got here? So Captain AC3 says, Steve, quick question. Do you think John and DJ would enjoy this very Scottish Gregory's Girl? Right now. Yeah. Gregory's Girl. Captain, I'm aware of it. I think I've seen a little bit of it, but not enough to know whether anyone would, you know, whether it would travel across the Atlantic. I'm not sure. Probably. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a teen sort of drama from what I can
remember. I say do tell because I don't know what it is.
Yeah. So. Do you know what? I wouldn't be able to have any confidence. Gregory's girl. Yeah. Jordan, I like it. What on Jordan? While the cat's away. The mice play. We can praise Evil Dead Rise as much as we want.
I'm back.
Right. Oh, no, he's back. He's back. Everyone, as you were.
Perfect. It's like you called him back into the room.
It's like Candyman. You just say Evil Dead Rise and he just appears.
Right.
Say it three times and DJ appears.
No.
Ed Kilbraith says, as far as comic series, so The Killing Joke and The Dark Knight, presumably The Dark Knight Returns. And I presume that's what you mean by that. Would that be right, John, or am I getting that wrong?
No, the comic series?
I think that would be The Dark Knight.
Was there a series of The Dark Knight?
Legends of the Dark Knight Returns? No. I think it was just Dark Knight.
Was it Dark Knight?
Have I got that wrong?
It was from the 80s, wasn't it? That's the one we're talking about?
Yeah, well, this Dark Knight Returns, there's three of them all together. I just don't remember.
I mean, The Dark Knight Returns is the Frank Miller one, isn't it? With the thing, because I've got that on my iPad. I mean,
I'm actually in my comic book card here.
No, it's
Dark Knight Returns. Yeah. It's The Dark Knight Returns.
Is it Frozen?
Okay.
What's
the one I was thinking of? Who's Frozen?
Hey guys, you all right?
Hello? Everybody frozen? There? No, I'm here.
Yeah. You kind of all dropped out and we're back in.
Oh, okay.
What are you downloading on the Kaleidoscape, Deej?
Nothing. Believe me. Yeah. Nothing. Well, as you know. It's like, okay.
No, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what that was. Yeah. Well, quite. No. Yeah. I thought you might be downloading stuff for in the future.
No. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's what I was telling you. I just sat down. I was, you know, sitting down. Late as it was, I mean, I even got to you guys late. So my last 24 hours, Steve and I stopped recording and I go upstairs and, Franklin, which we opened the show with yesterday, talking about Franklin, just briefly, we just mentioned his name, but it just was apropos because I listened back to the show today. Franklin had seizures last night, and he's had them since December of 23, which we went over everything, but very, very long story short, we ended up taking him to Tufts Medical, which is an emergency room for dogs, for animals around here. And they started off telling us, okay, we can do this, this, and this. And then they started hearing his history, and they started giving Jen and I, you know, praise that it's okay if we put him down now, blah, blah, blah. And, so we left there around 1 a.m, not knowing what was going to happen. There's a lot more to the story, but, got the call this morning that he's doing okay. And that they're processing everything. They've got him on an IV, trying to, like, they've mitigated it all so that he can, you know, recover. And tonight they're going to take him off it at like midnight. You put it on him for 24 hours. And then if he is okay, which they think he will be, that's the call I just got. Well, supposedly we'll be able to take him home if he doesn't have another seizure overnight. If he does, then there's other plans and there's complications to all that too. But we were under the impression that we're like, okay, every month he has a couple of seizures. He does this and they've been getting worse and worse. And last night was like, he had like six, almost eight of them inside of like 3 hours. And that's why we had to get him there, because that's when their organs will fail and stuff. So,
yeah.
So that's where we were. So it's, you know, it was, you know, fun day. So,
yeah, man. But the latest update then, Deej, is it doing okay?
Yeah. It's, he's
bright side. Brightside.
Yeah, hashtag Brightside. I'll tell you, I was telling my daughter today, who's a nurse, and obviously I told Jen this stuff too. But the doctor that called me at 11 this morning, we didn't know what was going on at this point. And I get the call, and I'm on my way to work, and I'm in the car, and I take the call, just like I saw here. I'm like, boop. It's like, it's got to be them. So I answer it, and I'm like, hello. And she's like, hello, this is Dr. Such and Such from Tufts Medical. I'm like, okay, yep. How you doing? Good. How you doing? Good. She's like, is this a good time? I'm like, yeah, I'm driving. I can listen. You know, hashtag Brightside. I'm like, I got ears. I'm driving. And she goes, well, would you like me to call back at a better time? I'm like, am I going to drive off the road?
Don't mess about. Just tell me.
I'm like, and I said this to Meg, and Meg was like, what the? And I'm like, I go, and it was, if you heard the recording of it, it was, you know, would you like me to call back at a better time? No, I can listen now. I'm not waiting. There was no gap in the middle. But in my head, oh my God, my dog's dead. My dog's dying. You think a million and one horrible thoughts. And she goes, oh, okay. Franco's doing great. He's eating some snacks. He's awake. I was like, jeez. You go from 0 to 100. Is that your your MO here? It's like, hey, bring him in low and then hit him with the good stuff. What the hell was that?
Hit him with Venom the Last Dance. And then.
Yeah. I was like, oh God, help me. I'm like, now I'm going to drive off the road because I'm mad at you.
Right.
No, but. Yeah, no, he's not out of the woods, but they think it's, Jen had a hard time last night because she has been the one that's been tracking this and saying, and look, here it is. And it wasn't until we saw his history, like month after month after month, and it getting progressively worse. And then listening to the doctor tell us, oh wow, like when we first went in, the meds that he's on, he's like, poof, that's a healthy dose, that's a good amount of meds for a dog that size, but don't worry, there's things we can do, we can still up it from here. Like 40 minutes later, after more examination and more history and knowing his full history, he's literally saying, like, don't be ashamed if you want to put him down right now. I was like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing it. And there's money involved, of course, in all of this. And it's like, you can throw all the sorts of money at it and maybe fix them. But at the same time, it just, you can't. And it's, you know, there's one option. Like, you can get an MRI, but that's like 10 grand. Right. I'm like, I wouldn't do that for me. I was like, that's crazy. And I was like, and all that does is tell you if it's a brain tumor or something. And then if it is, then it's like tens of thousands of dollars to have it removed, which I'm not doing. Right. It's like, I mean, I love my dog and all, but let's be real. Right. So that's not even an option. But then the other stuff is like, you know, it's a lot. And we're navigating our way through all this, but so it's
everyone's supportive in the chat, man, and also as we expect. And then Captain saying, yeah, brother-in-law's dog had similar problems 2 years ago and is still with us, medication worked. So, you know, there's some hope, man. That's what we want, isn't it?
I'm seeing it, and it's believe me, we all have perspective. And if this hadn't happened, I'd probably be, this is funny. Not funny. It's not funny. If this hadn't happened, I'd be giving my condolences. To my friends who lost their sister over the week since our last show. So.
Oh, man.
Dog seems silly.
They're not that kind of animal. They're not a gerbil. They're not a fish.
But it is.
You know, dogs are family members. There's no, you know, no two ways about it. They're not, it's not an animal. It's not a pet.
But what I'm saying is it's also not a person. It's not my sister or my sister-in-law.
Yeah.
You know, which is what happened over the week for Larissa and her husband, you know, Norm. It's like Norm lost his sister and it's, you know, then they were, you know, they're really close. And here I am with the dog and I'm like, you know, but it is what, and they understand, believe me, they do. It's like, they understand this too. Cause you know, she's, you know, Larissa's the same way with the dog. She's crushed about the dog too. And it's like, we're like, you just lost your sister-in-law, who she was really close with. So it's like, you keep perspective and it's like, and that's, you know, it's tough and it's, you know, but it is what it is. And it's like, you know, hashtag bright side. It's like, you know,
yeah,
it's doing okay now and everything. So
yeah, well, keep positive, man. We just hope it's, you know, we got shows to do.
It's like,
yeah, man.
But yeah.
But yeah, all the love in the chat, man. You know, Rachel's saying, my dog was on Fentuin, whatever that. Yes, and agreed it works, you know, so it can be done. And yeah, as I say, and again, Rachel says as well, it's not silly, you know, they're family. And they are. Yes. You know, dogs are different. They're not. And again, cat doesn't give a crap about you. And you know, even though you can kind of, you know, you think about it, you know, they it's still tough, but a dog's a dog, man. They are who they are. They're members of the family. They are, yeah, it's a different thing. You know, they're not like pigeons on an outdoor TV. These are, you know, animals that we like.
That Steve took a bazooka to last night.
because we were saying this, John, right? We were saying this about open cans of alcohol in a car in Texas, right? Okay. Just to change the subject.
Stop breaking some laws.
So Deedus was saying he thinks in Texas you can't have an open container of alcohol. Or we don't think you can, certainly not the driver anyway. And I was saying, you can have a rocket launcher in the back, you know, buy one, get one free in Texas, you know, no problem, but you can't have alcohol.
You can have all kinds of guns strapped to your back window, you know, but open alcohol containers.
None at all?
I don't think you can have any at all. I don't think it's just the driver. I could be wrong. I mean, it's definitely mass the is driver, that way. But I think it's in the car, period.
That's way mass is zero tolerance. But I know Connecticut passengers can, driver can't. Right.
What I was thinking about that today as I was listening to the show is ignorance any kind of defense, do you think?
No.
So if you go over the state line into, you know, into New Hampshire, just because that's what the little bit I know about. So you go into New Hampshire and you've got your open container of alcohol or vice versa, whichever the one you're not allowed to do is, and you do that and you get pulled by a police officer and you've got it. Can you just say, look, I'm really sorry, officer. I didn't know. I had no way. Cause it's not like it's on a sign as you cross the state line, is it? It's not. There's a big sign going, just so you know, here are your new laws.
Right.
No, so like, can you say to an officer, look, I'm really sorry. I didn't know. It's all Greek to me. And I'm really sorry about that, officer. Please don't give me a ticket. Or is it just, look, zero tolerance. You're an idiot. You should have known the law and you're coming with me, sunshine.
Well, the cliche is. Ignorance of the law is no excuse, right?
Correct.
I mean, what they say about anything. So I would imagine that's how enforceable everything is are different stories because I think that depends. But
well, it also,
there's a million laws on the books in every state that aren't enforced, you know, that have been on the books for 200 years, you know, and nobody enforces them. But, I think ignorance of that is no excuce, but
it would be up to the officer on site. Is the driver that messed up?
Right. Do you seem impaired?
What's your record? Right. Yeah. What's the record of the person? What's the known record at the time? And then, all right, the officer is well within his rights to pull you in, but then here's your defense when you go before a judge. And now do they have leeway? But to John's point, it's like everything over here is ignorance isn't a defense. You know, you can't,
which
you
is
can't
not clear
ignorance
either.
Because everybody would just be like, "Well, like, okay, I didn't know. Well, you're an idiot. Yep." And he doesn't mean you get away with it. I didn't know you couldn't walk out of a bank with the money.
But I wonder if a tourist would. I wonder if, like, again, back to my example of the summer of 98, had I been driving the car.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting, look, you're over the limit. That's a different story. I'm not excusing that. Drink driving's bad. I mean, there's no question about it. But if, but if I cross the state line from New Hampshire into Mass and I open a bottle of Budweiser and I'm sipping on that and it's the only thing I've had and I've had a quarter of a sip of it, so I'm not impaired.
Right.
Would a, you know, do you think an officer's going to go, well, look, all right, you didn't know, you're a tourist, you haven't got a clue, that's fine, as long as you're polite and you're not being an idiot.
Well, I think, right, I think
it also well, you just came from a state that didn't allow it in the first place.
You know?
Yeah, okay, or yeah, I you know, for argument's sake, teach.
But say you came from New Hampshire, right? Yeah. Say you came from New Hampshire, where it would be a lot, maybe it is allowed, right? Mm. And you drove into Massachusetts and you're a tourist, you know, from, you know, from England. And I'm the state trooper or whoever pulls you over and be like, oh, it's allowed in New Hampshire. I didn't know, not in Massachusetts. I look at you and go, how'd you know it's allowed in New Hampshire? Well, I looked it up. Well, then maybe you should have done that when you're venturing into Massachusetts.
Yeah.
You did your due diligence there and then you traveled here. And I'd still give you a hard time. And I mean, John traveled to Italy. And he was reading up all those traffic violations and laws and stuff because he's like, you don't want to get pegged for that stuff because.
Which I'm still waiting for my tickets to show up.
Right. Because he read reports that they love it. I mean, they're going to hit you with everything, all the fines, because it's free money from outside the country. You're not hitting your people, right? It's great. So, you know. Best off to be like, how about just don't drink in the car? Like, yeah. Or carry a howitzer in the back window.
Hey, Texas, it's, I mean, as much as you're not allowed to have like the open alcohol container, you are required by law, I'm sure, to have some sort of, you know, Gatling gun on the roof. It's just kind of part of it, surely.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's not anti-tank, you're
it
in
comes
lot
standard.
Of
trouble. I don't even think you can buy a car in Texas without
it's like somebody had a Death Race 2000. It's got these big machine guns on the bonnet. That's what I'm imagining. Awesome. But yeah, no, you see in England, you can have open alcohol. There's no issues here with that at all. In England and Wales and you can do that. Yeah. And I think it's the same in Scotland. It's the driver being over the drink drive limit is the issue.
Right.
I mean, you can pull up next to a cop drinking a, you know, can of Budweiser. It's fine. The police officer's going to pull you over and
do that's an import over there.
Yeah, hey man, that's good stuff.
It's highfalutin.
It's not what they think of it here. No. But if you as long as you're not under the limit, there's no issue. You can, like I say, you could be talking to the officer, swigging from your can. Yeah. They're not going to do anything about it. As long as you're under the limit, you're okay. It doesn't mean it's a sensible thing to do, but you can. So again, I wonder if you go over there and you're like, look, I'm from England. I didn't know it. You can drink there as long as you don't, you know, you're not over the limit. And then I wonder whether they would come down on you like a ton of bricks or whether they'd be like, okay, look, fine. As long as you're polite, you know what to do. The way you do it, and this worked for me many times, not with alcohol, I hasten to add. But if you ever get in trouble in America, those listening that are in this country, talk poshly in your English accent. You will be fine.
Oh, right? God.
I love it.
Not absolutely. My English accent.
But, you know, the number of times I went into like a restaurant needing to use the loo, you know, the toilet and stuff, and then, you know, it's restrooms, customers only. He goes, oh, look, I'm terribly sorry. I've been rather caught short. Might I be able to use your restroom, please? And they just go doughy-eyed and go, well, of course you can. Yes, not a problem. Your Majesty. Yeah. Yes, right this way.
Well, if the biggest law you're breaking, Steve, is using a restroom and not purchasing something, I think you're doing all right over here. It's like, yeah, it's like I don't do what I did and go behind the store and piss on the dumpster and watch, and then have two cops show up and go, "What are you doing?" I was like, I just came from the Big E. Oh, whatever the heck it was. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember much from that day. Except for that, they let me go.
So Paul says that seems to work almost everywhere except New York City. To be fair, Paul, I didn't try it in New York, I must admit. Yeah. But it absolutely worked in anywhere on the East Coast. It was great. And I found in Florida and on the West Coast as well. They just love it. It's just something about the English accent, man. You get away with murder. Not literally. Like, yeah. That is not legal advice.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Just so we're clear. God.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Steve, take in any more Big Bang?
No, not today. I watched Heretic earlier.
Yep.
And then I was teaching, so I haven't had chance to do any more. But I will. I'm looking forward to this.
Just checking in. I can't wait for a weekly update. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I'm sure the listeners are like, let us know what time.
PF Productions was saying earlier, he said Yeah, here he is. So he said he listened to most of Takeover Tuesday today whilst on a long drive. Nice to hear you two just riff on various topics. He said, I've never watched Big Bang Theory yet either. And then so I'm like, well, you know, I thought it was just me. And he said, no, I'd like it, but 12 seasons of 25 episodes is a lot to catch up on. And I just said, look, you know, just take it a couple of episodes at a time. Doesn't matter if it's, you know, months and months. That's, you know, it's all good.
There you go. Steve's putting himself in the chat. There we go.
He's engaged.
If you're looking at the screen right now, Steve is in your top right corner, and a lovely gentleman is in the top left corner. He's speaking to you, and he's narrating his own text.
And then I said,
"Exactly." Oh God, I love this show.
But yeah,
so like, I could sit down here, our pets' heads are falling off, and we're gonna have a good time.
These PF Productions, by the way, just so you know, he has emailed you about a Takeover Tuesday being on one.
Together
documentary series and for Apple TV or up, sending them to Apple. That'd be fascinating.
Like we did, I actually was going to talk about this last night, but I decided, I was going to, after when we just kept going and going and it didn't get worked into the show, I was going to work it in here. And typically we don't do this, but I think John will appreciate this. Where did it go? It was from Friday.
Don't put words in my mouth, man.
I'm trying not
too much
to.
Don't tread on me.
Where I saved it. I flagged it. There it is. All right. PF. There we go. I've read that. I recently read this to my daughter today. Oh man, that's just, I got to fix that. I can't see even with my glasses. It's too small. So this is Paul. Paul writes, "Hey DJ, I just donated $7.50 a month to Patreon. I'm glad you brought it up recently, and as I mentioned in the Patreon donation, I'm glad you guys are keeping it in all caps. I held off in the past because it seems you are always giving it away to different monthly charities. My thinking was, why donate so they can give it away? I'd rather give it to charities of my own choosing. I was hoping it would go to you guys instead. When you recently mentioned keeping the money to do this full time, I had to climb on board. ! That's perfect, and it's exactly what you should do with it. You guys put in countless hours to make this content for all of us, and you deserve to be compensated, even if it's just to pay for the movies you all have to buy to review. Also, wouldn't mind being on a Takeover Tuesday sometime. My path, and I'll get into that. I will schedule with Paul, but he goes on to talk about everything, like his credentials, what he's done, and we'll talk about that in the Takeover Tuesday. But I was like blown away by that sentiment of like, we want you to keep it, right? And it's like, you know, we still will be doing Movember, but I've had other people, like, you guys know, like, when we ask for donations, a lot of people go right to the source. You don't have to give it to us. I don't care if it comes through us. So people do that, and that's great. And maybe that's what we'll do in the future and stuff like that. But my daughter and I were talking today, and I'm in another topic, and that kind of this came up, and I was like, oh my God, let me read you this email. And she's like, see, that's what people, and I was like, you know, it's like, and Paul, thank you very much. $7.50 a month is amazing. And even just explaining that to me in my thick skull, it's like, you know, I do like to donate. I like to help. And it's like, I did this. I said it when we first started doing it, when I was coaching hockey. I'm like, the activities that we're in the things we have, home theater, there's a lot of excess money here. Right. And that's how I was looking at it. It's like, and there are a lot of people that are less fortunate than us in multiple ways. And here we are, talk about the sandbox of life here. It's like ridiculous. You need to have money to even be talking about this. So a few dollars here to help a charity, to help something. That's what I was going for. I didn't really care about myself. And I say didn't. I said to my daughter, kind of need it now. But it's like, you know, but at the same time, one of the things is, and like Paul says here, you guys can use it. You guys do this. And it's like one of the things I've always told people is like, take care of yourself so you can help others. And it's like, if you don't take care of yourself first, you're no good to anybody else. Right. And so stuff like that. And that's why I went right to, like, literally a situation John's in right now. It's like he could, I mean, if we had done this years ago, who knows where we'd be? Maybe he wouldn't even need to be doing this. I don't know what's going to happen, but we know the numbers. We know what's out there and it's possible. So who knows? But I appreciate the sentiment, Paul. And
Thank you. Man. Cheers, buddy.
Yeah. And that's, he's not the only one. It's, right away, who was it? Upped their donation, just edited Jack. He just started donating. He upped his donation, who was on the show a few weeks ago. So, and that was last week. And I had that highlighted right here too. So I'm like, what the, you know, people are upping and stuff like that. And I really, really appreciate that. And, so.
No, fair play. So was that before or after John did his crikey? Because I think
it was after. That was Friday. It was Friday. I got that. I got the message from Paul on Friday, which is funny because maybe Paul heard it, the audio only on Friday, you know, so it was probably right after the crikey.
Actually, that's why it wasn't higher. So
he was like, I was
supposed to review.
I was going to do 20, but jeez. Yeah. It was like, I edited out the part, don't give any to John.
Yeah. Well, he works on his accent.
You're right on par with that. So
yeah. So, but yeah, it's difficult times. I mean, you guys know how much I hate talking about money and how much I hate being like this. But at the same time, it's like, thank you for people like, you know, Jack upping it, all the patrons, everybody, and Paul, and saying that so well and getting through my thick skull because John wasn't able to do it.
Yeah, I've only been saying it for 5 years, but
five. You've been saying it since we were kids.
Oh, true.
Yeah, I'm the one that was always like throwing money away, and John's like, nope, give me that quarter. You know what I was talking about this week, John? Do you remember this in school? Do you remember flipping quarters?
Not really.
You don't remember flipping quarters on the playground? Like literally quarters, like heads. If you get it right, you got the quarter.
I don't think I ever did that.
You never did that? No. We did it in class. You'd flip quarters. And
I don't
you'd be
know.
Like,
I'd rather keep my quarter.
That's why. There you go. And that's probably why I got rid of gambling. I'm like, people spend all this money going out to gamble. And it's like, why don't you just walk up to somebody and go write down a number 1 to 10 and be like, I got a number 1 to 10. I got $20. You get it right, you get my 20. I get it wrong, you get it wrong, I get your 20.
Right.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And we could be just, and then when I said it, I was like, holy crap. We used to do this. We used to walk around. I remember playing with PJ Lampasona. I remember playing all these different, it'd be like quarters and be like heads. Oh crap. And you go home and you didn't have lunch because you're like, I flipped my lunch money. And that's what we were flipping quarters, gambling as kids.
I'm not sure what's more disturbing. I don't know whether it's kind of gambling or whether it's just bullying. I haven't quite figured out which one it is.
Well, nobody made you do it. That's not bullying. It's like, you're like, you want to flip? Sure. You got a quarter? You can't do it if you don't have a quarter, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it's the same with baseball cards.
Yeah.
That's why baseball cards are so valuable. Now, the old ones, we used to hit them. Remember? You'd line them up and hit them.
Well, I remember
you
got to doing
keep
that.
Them. Yeah. 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 You're throwing a Babe Ruth down. Yeah. Okay. There goes 50 grand.
Yeah. Well, we're not that old, DJ.
No, but we—I mean,
none of the cards that were out when we were kids are worth anything.
Yes,
well, maybe.
Yeah, they're all worth something because they were all in our bike spokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well,
this is a nice segue.
Memory lane. I like it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right,
we go back to East Coast sports again, DJ. What's going on?
Wait, back to East Coast sports? Yes.
Yeah, we go there again.
Kyle Yastrzemski. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What do we want to do? Do we want to get to some? It's still not even 6 o'clock. Look at us not go.
We've got plenty, though, in fairness.
Yeah. I don't
either. I've got one. Oh,
yeah, but we've got enough that you guys could talk about. There's at least two that you guys could talk about, and if not more. If we're clever with what we choose, we'll be good.
Yep. All right. Let's. You mentioned this yesterday, Steve. You want to kick this off?
Yeah. Let's
mention it yesterday. So it was in the earlier show today for people that don't know. So if you do, go back, listen to the other show, come back and listen to this, and you can hear about it. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Here we go.
Okay. So this then is The Gift. 2000.
Speaking of the gift, go to patreon.com.
Nice.
You like that, John?
John, right? It's taken a while to get him warmed up. Some fine hours, but now we won't stop.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that monkey with the symbols.
So this is the gift then. This is 2000's The Gift, directed by Sam Raimi with a true all-star cast. And this is on 4K UHD disc. It's an Arrow release, as you can see from the little color thing down the bottom there. 4K UHD DTS-HD 5.1 Master Audio upmix to Neuralex. Now, I think we established a couple of weeks ago when we talked about this right at the end of the show, you guys hadn't seen it, or at least don't remember if you've seen it. Is that right?
I'm sure I have not seen it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I've got a funny feeling if you start watching this, you'll be like, okay, I have seen it. But I hadn't, and I definitely had not seen it. And when I say all-star cast, we're talking Kate Blanchett, who stars in it. We've got, Greg Kinnear. We've got Hilary Swank, Keanu Reeves doing his best bad guy. Giovanni Ribisi, Katie Holmes, you know, everyone that's anyone. Plus, interestingly, bearing in mind this is directed by Sam Raimi, we have that's gone out of my mind now. Who's the guy? J.K. Simmons is in it. Okay. And also you've got who's Aunt May in Spider-Man 2000? Oh my God, what's her name? Yeah, I can't remember for the life of me. What's her name? Oh, someone in the chat, help us out. Rosemary Harris.
Yeah, that I wouldn't have said. No.
Rosemary Harris? Have I got that right? Have I got that wrong? I might have got that wrong. I don't know. Anyway, someone from Spider-Man. So this was Sam Raimi's warm-up, I think, for Spider-Man. Because this is 2000, and in 2002, we get Spider-Man. And so it's interesting that we then have these people that will later go on to have big roles in Spider-Man. So anyway, this is The Gift. We won't talk Spider-Man. So The Gift then is a movie that is – Cate Blanchett is I don't know if you call her a psychic, a medium. She is someone who works – it's all in rural Georgia, okay, as we talked about on the show last night on Takeover Tuesday. Everyone's doing their best Georgian accent, you know, and that's not mine. Okay. But everyone's giving
you got a better one.
I'd like to order some cod.
Oh God. Here we go. Was it, Kirsten Dunst?
Is that No. Rosemary, the one who played Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Aunt May.
Is that Rosemary Harris?
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm going to have to, someone look it up.
So
Harris, May Parker.
I did remember. All right, good stuff. Okay, good
remembered.
To know.
He remembered.
He remembered. He likes me. He really likes me. Cate Blanchett is a psychic or a medium. I don't know what you call it. She works. She lives in this very kind of rundown small town in Georgia. She has lost her husband. She's now a mother of three young children. She's been widowed. And what happens then is she then becomes involved in some local intrigue where a local socialite played by Katie Holmes goes missing. And she then has premonitions of what might have happened to her. The film is really, really good. And I really did enjoy it. It does have a bit of a whodunit to it. Now, if you're paying any kind of attention, you know immediately whodunit. And I did instantly. There's not even a doubt in my mind, but I think the film wants it to be a whodunit. But it is a really good story. It's quite hard to watch at times. There are some very tricky domestic violence scenes in this that are really full on, mainly involving Keanu Reeves, you know, Mr. Nice Guy. And yet in this, he's playing a really nasty character who is beyond redemption. And he really is nasty. And so there is some difficult stuff in this. And again, I just want people to know who are going to see it because it could be triggering for victims. Anyone that's a victim of domestic violence might struggle with some of this. Mm. And I struggle with some of it, not as a victim, but I deal with victims all the time of this, as well as, of course, the perpetrators. And I did find it quite difficult at times, but it's a very well told film. And I did enjoy it and it's well worth seeing. I mean, this is a film at one time I would have thought that would have been almost Oscar worthy because of how some of this is played out. So really, really good film. Now it's an Arrow release. I've never seen it before, so I can't compare it to a VHS, DVD, Blu-ray. Don't know. Never seen it. This is in 4K, and the video on it is fantastic. I can't imagine how it could have looked any better. It's very colorful, ultra detailed. Sam Raimi kind of likes his 185 movies. And this is a 185 one. So there's lots of close-ups of characters looking directly into, characters looking directly into the camera, into the lens. And again, as we talk about all the time, you can see every pockmark and pore and imperfection in the actor's skins. A number of them, like Greg Kinnear's got very blue eyes, hasn't he? He always has had. And they leap off the screen on this. They almost look unnatural. But it looks so colorful, so detailed, even with the grain and everything else, because it's shot on film from 2000. Now, what's really interesting with this, and I did particularly like, is the audio. Now, upmixed, I'm starting to wonder, was this an Atmos? No, it can't have been. It must have been DTS HD 5.1. But you wouldn't know it. Most of the movie's quite kind of front heavy. So most of the time, everything's in the front of the screen. There's some off screen kind of effects, but mainly it's at the front. But every time Kate Blanchett has a vision or a premonition or whatever you want to call it, it's like someone has grabbed hold of this, your screen, your display, and taken hold of the audio and pulled it right to the back of the room. So suddenly all the speakers come alive. There's a bit of Ellsworth effect. So we get some, you know, thunder and lightning and some rain, but also you get this
windshield really wipers. Nice,
and you get this lovely echoey kind of movement of this stuff moving in the screen. So the whole room comes alive when she has these visions and these premonitions. And it's a very cool effect and quite creepy in its own way, which is what it's supposed to be. Bearing in mind it is Sam Raimi. And so I really did enjoy this. This was a great disc, a blind buy for me. And I'm so glad that I did. So if you guys get a chance to catch it, even if it's only streaming, you know, I mean, I would recommend seeing it, but don't be surprised, guys. Oh, that's last night, but don't be surprised.
Yeah, where'd that go?
if you start watching it, I can imagine you guys going, I have seen this. And just kind of had forgotten about it as a kind of movie of the week, maybe, but it's way better. Oh, he's gone. We lost him. DJ's gone again. So, Evil Dead Rise.
I guess, yeah. You say it three times.
Yeah,
quick, man, Evil Dead Rise. Evil Dead Rise.
Get him back. But yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised though, John, if you do start watching. Hey, DJ, stop messing around, DJ. Come on.
Yeah, I know, huh?
Well, looking at it, it doesn't seem like something I've seen, but.
Yeah, but it seems what I'm struggling with is how an all-star cast movie like this. And again, this would have been Oscar bait, certainly with Kate Blanchett, bearing in mind what she goes through in this. I'm surprised that, I can't imagine it. I know I could have missed it because it's a very American tale, but I can't get my head around how you guys would have missed it because of the nature of the movie that it is. So maybe not, but I think when you start watching it, you'll be like, all right, okay, I do know. But very, very good. A really good blind buy. If you can get around the Georgian accents, as I said, everyone is giving it the best Georgian they can.
Yeah.
But it is better than a certain actress from Reacher season 3. So, you know, I would say that no one's quite that challenging. really recommend it, fellas. Is it on Kaleidoscope, Deej? Have you had a chance to look
do you want me to hit more buttons?
Yeah, careful with that. Yeah,
he's already.
broke it once or twice.
Yeah.
I don't know if is it out over there, John, as well? Is it on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. It's $29.64 on Amazon. So it's a little pricey.
For a 2000 movie. Yeah, Kate Blanchett. Yeah.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett, Sam Raimi. Yeah, Giovanni Ribisi. Yeah, it's on Kaleidoscope in SD, though. So no.
Wait for
$14.99 on SD, and as me and Steve Brock have told you, John, love you, buddy. Do not buy SD. It does not go well.
Well, certainly not on a screen the size of yours.
Yeah, you know, or his. His is 150, I believe. So he did it once, and he just for like blanks and giggles. He was like, "Whoa."
Yeah, it's not going to look good.
No,
but you know, if it does pop up though, or if it, you know, you get it for a decent price, I absolutely recommend it. It's really good. It's way better than it's got any right to be. But cool. Again, with the caveat, it is hard to watch at times. You know, things, yeah. nasty stuff happens in this to fairly good people, including in front of children, which I always struggle with. But it's service of the story. It's not exploitative. It is deliberately establishing character, but it's still hard to watch. But I thought it was great. You really, really like this film. So yeah, recommended for those that haven't seen it or those that don't remember if they've seen it.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I'll check it out when it's not SD.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Remove. Let me see if I'm trying a different way.
Yeah, go for it.
Of doing these things because I can. They've upgraded StreamYard, so I
yeah. They have. I saw that when I logged in. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm gonna see if it's any better for doing things. Let me, John. You ready to do this one? You're the one.
My
you have
one.
Here?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Let me see how this comes up. So we will stage. Wrong button.
How did you know?
Yes, you started, yeah.
How did you know, DJ?
What the hell?
I've never even heard that one.
What the? Yeah. All right, let's back out. We're gonna do this again because this. And to be fair, it kind of went with the way the image came up. I didn't even like the way it came up.
Just whilst Deej is messing about.
Oh my god!
So it's great. A fake quote from Rosemary Harris when she was clinging to Alfred Molina on the top of a fake New York building. So that's Amazing Spider-Man 2, isn't it? Spider-Man 2. She's about to do a shot of them going over the side, saying, "I'm classically trained, you know."
Oh god, that was man. Great. Yeah, so let's do it this way. It comes out better. All right, you ready, John?
I'm still ready.
And let's do this again from the top.
All right, can we get the
language?
Nope, that's not the button.
All right, so before we have any more mishaps, this is Pearl. Which is, of course, a prequel to the movie X.
Yes.
Which I talked about, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so.
Oh, easy. A couple of years?
Maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And was not the biggest fan of. I didn't really care for X. And really wasn't going to watch any of the two follow-ups. But I have this available on my Zidu. And so I thought I'd give it a go. This is, of course, 4K, Dolby Vision, Dolby Atmos. So just to get it out of the way, I did like this more than X, by a lot, actually. I actually, had a good time with this. I enjoyed the movie. It's a little over the top, which, you know, these movies can be. I did, like I said, I enjoyed this more than X. And I will probably watch Maxine and have that for next week. That's my take on the film. As far as the presentation goes, I thought the picture on this was awesome. Very colorful. Super colorful for a horror movie. Although again, this is about as horror as like an episode of Law and Order, you know, like it's it's really not horror. It's more just
really? Kill.
Yeah, it's not. It's just, there's no real elements of suspense or horror to this film. It's just a murder movie, you know, she just kills a bunch of people, but I don't know. Anyway, I guess it's horrific in the sense that she's killing a bunch of people.
I was going to say, it's not horror unless you're the one getting killed, but okay.
But I don't know. To me, it's not your – I don't know. I didn't really think of it much as a horror movie more than just see on any murder mystery show on
regular television.
Yeah. Maybe just not quite as bloody. But that, like I said, but the picture, it was super colorful, super sharp. I thought it looked great. The audio, I guess I kind of feel the same way as what you were saying with The Gift, Steve. For about the first half of this movie, I wasn't really impressed with the audio at all. Like, I just didn't feel like I was enveloped at all for a Dolby Atmos mix. Felt like everything was kind of front facing. And then about halfway through, you have the obligatory thunderstorm scene where everything sort of came alive. And then from that point on, maybe I just started noticing it more, but I just felt like it was a lot more enveloping for the second half of the movie than it was in the first. I kind of felt myself sitting there watching it and feeling kind of in the middle of it because I had, you know, crickets and, you know, bugs, you know, all the kinds of stuff going on in my ears behind me and to the sides of me. And I feel like it got a lot more enveloping with the second half of the movie. But the first, like I said, the first half, either I just wasn't noticing it, but it, nothing stood out. Nothing really kind of grabbed me and let me know that, hey, this is a, you know, this is a Dolby Atmos mix. But once the storm hits and, you know, all that rain and thunder and all that stuff came, kind of felt like they flipped the switch and, you know, they turned the Atmos button on and, you know, there it was. Overall, I thought, I thought the picture was better than the sound. But, you know, second 45, 50 minutes of it, I thought the Atmos was pretty solid. So,
Nice. Right. Yeah, I've got the Blu-ray of this. I don't think it's out in 4K over here. It's only, so I've got the Blu-ray with that. And I did review it, I think, way back when. And I enjoyed this much more than I thought I was going to. I mean, I personally prefer X, but that's because it's a slasher movie from the 80s type, you know, Texas Chainsaw Massacre type, you know, it's my kind of genre. But I do like this one quite a lot and more than I expected. And of course, we have David Corin Sweet in this, who of course is the Superman. Although, you know, I'm sure he'll get on better in that than he does in this.
Yeah, which I had never seen him in anything prior to this. So at least I got to – was he in Twisters?
Yeah. He's one of the – he's the second in command of the kind of the rich company.
Oh, I didn't even recognize, I didn't recognize him at all. Okay.
Yeah, and in fact, he was shooting that when he found out he was in Superman. And there's a video on YouTube of the cast. They all found out at the same time. But he just told them. And they were going absolutely crazy. You know, Glenn Powell and that going mad.
So this was the first thing that I knew that I was watching him in. Because in Twisters, I didn't know that was him. Over at the end of the day, I still don't think this was like my favorite. Like, I don't know when I'll go back to this. It's still not my favorite series of movies. But I did like it. Like I said, I did like it more than X. So.
I think that, and that final shot, you know, over the credits is just incredible. I absolutely love that. No spoilers, but that last shot is just wow. What I admire about this, you're right, John, it's not your typical horror film. I mean, Ty West isn't a typical horror movie director, really. I mean, X is the closest you get to a run of the mill slasher movie. This one is not like it. And Maxine is definitely not. Personally, I think Maxine's quite a big letdown compared to these two. These two are good, I think. Maxine, I didn't quite vibe with.
I will watch it.
Yeah. I'll be curious to see what you make of it. It's a different kind of movie again. Odd film, but yeah, no, oh, good. I'm glad you enjoyed this. I did think when I saw that you'd seen it, I thought, oh no, John hated X.
not to spoil a movie that we talked about 3 years ago, but I couldn't get over the killers being, you know, 90-year-old.
Yes.
And at least now you know where it comes from. Like I enjoyed kind of getting the backstory to that. I still think it's ridiculous, but at least I know where Pearl came from. So
absolutely. Well, it is silly, and they don't have to move around quickly for elderly people as well. They seem to be everywhere you don't want them to be.
Exactly. I'm 55 and I can't move that fast.
Do have portals clearly in X. But yeah, no, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. That's interesting because it's definitely a different kind of horror movie. I'm not even sure you could call it horror. I think you're right. It's in a class of its own or a genre of its own. Nice. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'll be very curious to see what you make of Maxine. Yeah, that will be interesting. That's the one after X, obviously.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I don't know where that even fits into the story, but I guess.
It's 80s Hollywood. She's trying to break into the adult film industry after the events of X, and it's kind of, you know, what happens in the seedy side of Hollywood in the 80s porn industry, basically. But it's an odd movie again. Okay. But yeah, see what you think about that. That'll be good. Nice.
Cool. All right. Let's see. I'm going to try something. Boom, boom. All right. And you see what we, what I have.
Yeah, I can see the next one.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we could all talk about this. I know John and I have seen it. And you, is this your first time seeing it?
No. I saw it when it came out on, you know, the app.
All right. Well, all right. Let's see.
Okay. So this is Falcon and the Winter Soldier, on 4K UHD disc in Dolby Atmos. And now that it's on there, I can say, yeah, so I saw it when it came out on Disney Plus, as we all did. And of course I've gone back to this having seen Captain America Brave New World. And this is the second movie or TV series that I've gone back to having seen Brave New World. And I've had this on disc since it came out in the US. This is one of those, again, my brother brought back from Canada, and it's just kind of, I put it on in the disc sleeves, bunged it on the shelf and kind of forgot about it. And I did enjoy the series, but it's just kind of got subsumed into all these other discs coming out, and it just went on the shelf, and I then promptly forgot and kind of moved on, as happens from time to time. Actually, I shouldn't say that, because the Patreon lot will stop sending us cash. I had forgotten about it, so I've gone back to it, and I like this series. I think this series is actually better than a lot of people give it credit for. I know I have weird views on these series anyway. I'm the one that doesn't really like Andor. Everybody loves it. So I get that I have some twisted views of some of these, you know, and so I get that. But that notwithstanding, I like this series. I think it's lean and mean. It doesn't try to do too much. It's really good. I'm about four episodes in. I haven't finished the series, but I'm going through it. And so I am enjoying it, and it's a lot of fun the second time around, really good. I had forgotten about entire sequences in this, including, most importantly so far anyway, the opening sequence. Do you guys remember what the opening sequence is?
No.
No, what about you, Dave? No. The opening massive action sequence?
No.
They're chasing a truck. Weren't they chasing
There you go. That's episode two. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It begins with essentially a precursor to Brave New World with the Tiamat thing. This begins with a ginormous action scene from where Sam's jumping out of planes and flying through helicopters, and he's being pursued through canyons, and there are missiles going off, and there are big machine guns, and there are people with flight suits, and it's this ginormous action sequence. And and this is how it starts. And you even get the fisheye lens, you know, the close up of him flying towards the camera right in the lens. And you've got this fisheye lens, and then you can see everything behind him. And so this begins with this beautiful, bright, colorful, ultra detailed action sequence, and you're just like, wow, I had completely forgotten this. And it's a nice precursor then to what we're going to get in Brave New World when it hits disc. And so I straight away I'm thinking, I have completely forgotten this. Because again, John, if you'd asked me before,
I remember that now that you say it.
I'd totally forgotten. And again, when you said about the truck, if you'd said to me before I started rewatching this, tell me an action sequence in this, and I would have said, oh, there's a sequence with the truck in Captain America and this, you know, so I would have done the same. But yeah, I've completely forgotten it. This action scene is ginormous. It's huge.
Right.
And it's how it begins. And it looks fantastic. It's, like I said, ultra bright. It's in daylight. It's very, very detailed. You know, you've got all the kind of the very close up stuff of him. So again, all the pores, all the, you know, the sort of facial hair that he's got, that Anthony Mackie. It just looks awesome. And with that, you then get decent sound. Now, I'm not going to lie and suggest that this is, you know, this is not Lucy. This, in terms of bass response, this is not Dune 2 or Dune 2. It's none of that. All right. It never goes that deep. Okay. But it's not at mouse either. All right. I'm not going to say it's a happy medium, because I would like just about everything to sound as bassy as Dune 2 and Lucy if you could. Especially the type of action in this. But it's okay. It's decent. You know, it does at least give some heft to what's on screen, which is not always the case. So I'm really enjoying this. And it carries on looking that good. They've just got to the city. I can't remember what they called it. In episode three, where they're in this city of lights and neon lights. I can't remember what it's called already.
Madripoor?
The other. There you go. Brilliant. Thanks, John. There we go. See, it's nice having a comic book guy around.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember if that was that show.
Yeah, that, but, that was it. So it looks brilliant. And again, it's nice and neon lit and it looks great. And then you get the thumping bass of the nightclub and the music, you know, which sounds pretty decent, man. I was impressed with it. So this is a very, very good looking and sounding series on Disney Plus, well, on disc from Disney Plus, and recommended if you can pick it up, or if you've got it already and you've done like I did and forgot you had it, then it's worth revisiting. And as I said, if nothing else, just watch your opening sequence to give you an idea of what we're going to get when Brave New World hits, because it's almost identical. It's almost like this opening sequence is a previs for Brave New World, because it's all exactly the same. You know, missiles firing here, there, and everywhere. You know, it's really cool. Really, really good. So I was pleased with this. I'm enjoying the series again and definitely recommend it amongst the Disney Plus physical media releases. So, very pleased.
I feel like when this was out, it was like I felt disappointed. Like I enjoyed it, but it wasn't as good as what I thought it was going to be. And that's kind of like what I took away from it and how I remember it. And like when the movie came out, I'm like, oh, I don't need to watch the series. I don't need to catch up. It was like, it was good, and I felt like it had less action than I wanted it to have. And I mean, I liked the storyline. I liked some of the behind the scenes stuff that they got into. Not behind the scenes of the movie or whatever, but I'm saying like the, some of the characters that, you know, I don't want to spoil it for people, but some stuff people twist in different ways. Characters, a couple of characters actually flip flop in a little bit. So where that plays out, I don't know, but. But yeah, it's funny you say that because I forgot that. It makes me want to just go get it on streaming now just to see it, right? And then.
It's worth it for that. Do that. You know, it would be worth, obviously, health notwithstanding, Deej. But as an opening sequence, it really does set a scene. I mean, Paul says all the budget went on that opening sequence. You might be right there, Paul. You might be right. But it's great. And again, we'd all forgotten it, all three of us. So we've all seen it and had completely forgotten it. So if nothing else, if you haven't got time to go back, just watch that opening and then fantasize about what Brave New World will look like and sound like when we get that. About that, nothing else.
About that. Oh, okay. All right. I got you. All right. Then just go fantasize.
Yeah, nice. In the evening with a bang.
Back to Underworld.
Back to the show. Yes. So I'm like you. I didn't feel the need to rewatch this before seeing Brave New World either. Because the same sort of thing. I remember thinking I enjoyed it, but it's not essential. But now going back to it again, I recommend this again. I think it was good and looks much better than some of them and sounds, you know, decent as well. Don't go in expecting Lucy or June 2, as I say. No. Or Furiosa or any of our top 10 from last year, even number 5 Twister. Don't go into any of that, but do expect a solid
HD. Depends on how you do the math.
No, it always comes out at number 5. Always.
It actually did, yeah.
So, I do recommend seeing this again. And even if it is Disney Plus, guys, I mean, we all pay for that. We got it. You might as well make use of it. But I think the disc is significantly better. And certainly looks better than I remember. I haven't A-B'd it, I must admit. But it looks great and sounds good as well. So, cool.
All right. Yeah. It's like, I picked up, what was the one you talked about? Ahsoka.
Oh, nice.
I did pick it up and I haven't had a chance. It's sitting on my popcorn machine next to my, theater. Waiting to be played, and it's, you know, that it didn't make it in time.
Well, we know why.
Exactly. It's been here like a week and a half. I just haven't, you know.
That's good. It'll be good when you get around to it. It's just there. It's not going anywhere.
All right. I'm actually really, really looking forward to that one. So
that's great.
Yep.
I'm enjoying, I'm enjoying going back to these series. I've got Loki season 1 and 2, and season 2 I haven't even seen, not at all. So I'm going to try and get those in next and try and watch both of those. Those are going to be my next little kind of, Disney Plus series on disc that I'm going to watch. I had Mandalorian season 3 arrive today, but I'm going to see Loki 1 and 2 and maybe even Scarlet Witch or WandaVision, whatever it is.
It's so funny. It's like, I really wonder why they're withholding all of these from Kaleidoscape. Like they're all on disc. We're getting none of them on Kaleidoscape. None of the series. And as soon as something streams, we get it on anything from Disney. As soon as it streams, we get it on Kaleidoscape. And it's just, it's like you can buy the disc now, but you can't get it on Kaleidoscape. And that's just,
it really is weird. But the other thing that's weird about it is the release schedule. Not schedule. The release schedule generally is because it's weird. Like Mando season 3. So that came out here yesterday. So I picked that up. It arrived from Amazon today. And of course that starts with Mando in a place from the book of Boba Fett that you can't get physically. So you'd be watching. So I'm going to go into season 3 thinking, okay, oh yeah, right. That's what happened. Yeah. Okay. Cause Boba Fett became kind of Mando 2.5, didn't it? Towards the end. And it's like, so it's weird. So they'll release Mandalorian 1, 2, and 3, even though really to get the most out of 3, you needed to have seen the book of Boba Fett, which isn't available. So that's kind of weird. I would like She-Hulk. I would like that. I'd rather enjoy that series. I thought it was quite fun. Yeah. And there are a number of them that they really should for continuity purposes, if nothing else.
Yeah.
Disney's weird. They do have
do you think that they won't? I mean, they might still come.
They've skipped them though, haven't they? They've skipped on beyond them. They've gone beyond, She-Hulk was prior to some of these. Right. And I mean, that was what, 2.5 years ago, nearly 3 years?
Probably.
So they've gone and certainly Mandalorian season 3 came after Book of Boba Fett and we haven't had that. True.
Yeah.
So it's like, they seem to have just skipped them.
Well, and Ahsoka, you're right. Ahsoka's already out, but Book of Boba Fett is not.
I quite like Book of Boba Fett myself. I'd pick it up.
Well, just basically the pattern shows there is no pattern, that they're just going to go by popularity on what's on the market, what's going to sell, right?
Yeah.
And it's not like a guarantee that a series is going to get a physical release. So I guess does that send a message? Like watch it, otherwise it isn't coming. Like if you're just going to sit here and watch for the disc and everybody does that, it's not showing up.
But I guess, if they underperformed on Disney Plus, then maybe they're just not going to give them a release.
Yeah. That's not a bad message.
About it, we haven't gotten, Miss Marvel hasn't come to physical disc,
that was
underperformed.
A good show.
I liked it, but it underperformed on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
I mean, and Jordan says it's also makes you wonder why these shows are only releasing physically via 4K steelbooks. No standard 4K Blu-ray or DVD release, which is weird as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very strange.
Well, to be fair, their release, that right there tells me they're giving us the 4K, they're trying to make the money and you're getting an upgrade. The Blu-ray and DVD, why would I sell you a DVD when you can go on, you pay a monthly fee and you'll be able to see it whenever you want at a better quality?
Right.
Why am I going to undercut my stream? Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to, I'm going to charge you $19.99 for a Blu-ray, for a DVD.
Right.
When you can pay less than that a month and watch all of these shows. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense. And the reason the Steelbook is like, here, it performed well. We'll give this to the collectors. It's a reward for us watching it on their primary service, right? And you might not like it, but that's business. We talked about it a few weeks ago with you couldn't watch the Patriots on TV unless they sold the building out, So it's like, or it was like 80% capacity, whatever it was, but it's like, we're not going to undercut ourselves and then give it to everybody to just stay home. So there's got to be an incentive there. And that to me makes sense. So
yeah, but I mean, like I said, I mean, if they're listening, Disney, we'll have She-Hulk, please, and Skeleton Crew. I'll quite happily have that.
Yeah.
Not too bothered about what's the one? What was the one that got cancelled before that? Star Wars, set in the Old Republic. Oh my god! Not too fussed about that.
I really liked Acolyte.
I liked Acolyte.
Yeah, there was too much that I didn't understand. Yeah.
It was a thinker. At least it was for me.
But I liked it, yeah.
John and I were like, this is good. Steve's like, this is dumb.
Yeah.
Well, I just I think it kind of went into, and again, this is why I'm grateful to you guys. There were things in it that I would not have understood. The changing of the Kyber crystal, using the Force on color. I've never heard of that. But you guys are like, oh, Steve, honestly, sit down, Steve. Let me tell you why.
Yeah. Tell you a story.
Excuse me. Oh, but whereas I think a lot of people, you know, wouldn't have got that. And I didn't understand it. I thought it was kind of silly. Yeah. It's not until you explain it. You're like, oh, okay, right. Yeah. But I wouldn't particularly need to feel the need to own that. But Skeleton Crew, I certainly would. And again, She-Hulk, as I say, that'd be great. I rather like that show, and I know that's been cancelled, and they're not going near that ever again.
I like a lot.
Actually. Yeah, kind of really a lot of fun, a lot of dopey fun. It was good. Yeah,
it was silly. I didn't like it as much as John, but I didn't hate it like a lot of people did. Mm. That one got really bashed.
Yeah, it did.
It did, but you know, yeah,
but. Yeah, and you've just like you got like when they came out when Natalie Portman was going to be Thor, and it's like people don't realize that these have been going on for decades, and they just think it's all like it's new, trying to answer to the new culture. No, this has been around forever.
Well, right, because everybody thinks, oh, Disney just went woke and made Captain America black. I mean, Sam Wilson was Captain America in the comics 20 years ago.
Right. Well,
I mean, yeah, it's not new.
It's like, it's so funny. It's everybody's like, oh, look at now they got to do that. No, this has been there forever. It's like, you know, it's not new. It's what it. Yeah. No. All right. You see what I got on stage?
Oh, yeah.
This? And then we'll wrap up with the one we all know.
Yeah. That's great. As long as you guys are okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, lay it on me. Let's do it. This is one I watched earlier today.
Oh. All right, here we go. Let me make sure I don't have a trombone.
I don't know what it is. So, okay.
Yeah, apologies for the picture, moving menus. Okay.
This is the best one of this, though.
Let me tempt you further then. Let me tantalize you, John.
Yeah, please.
Okay, so for those listening to the audio,
I was going
to
say, let the listeners know.
This is then The Heretic, or Heretic, in fact, maybe not The Heretic, it's just Heretic, which came out here on 4K Blu-ray yesterday. I think it's been out for a couple of months in the US, maybe longer. We kind of had a twisted journey to 4K here. So it came out yesterday. I haven't seen it until today. I didn't see it in theaters. I mentioned to Jordan, he and I were chatting via DMs a couple of days ago. I'd had access to a screener of it and had seen the first 5 minutes and was like, I don't want to ruin this. I want to see this properly. And so that was it. And I just stopped the screen. I was like, forget it. I'm not going to watch this in 1080p and 5.1. I'm going to wait for the 4K disc. Right. So this is 4K UHD disc, Dolby Atmos as well. And of course, Carl Ellsworth talked about this on the 25-hour show. Deej, again, I know we keep talking about Carl. Yeah. There's a reason he would have liked this. The whole thing takes place during a storm. No wonder he likes it. And he had talked about how he had spoken to Beck and Wood, who were the guys that directed it. And he had then been to their theater, hadn't he? He'd been there to see it and then spoke to them afterwards, which is very cool. And they wrote it, directed it, and produced it. This is their baby, this movie. And it's a movie about two, Mormon, sisters, as in Mormon sisters, not they're related. And they are given an address to go to spread the gospel. And, they arrive at this address just as a storm is hitting. Wouldn't you know it? And they ring the doorbell and answers, Hugh Grant of all people. Okay. Disarming Hugh Grant. Okay. At his most charming. And he invites them in on the understanding he wants to know more about the Mormon church. And very quickly we discover he is not who he seems to be. That is not a spoiler. That's in the trailer. Okay. And things then go from there and they go downhill pretty quickly. Again, not a spoiler. All right. Otherwise it would be really boring if they just sat around talking. Yeah. So first time viewing this movie, and I seem to remember, I think it might have been Carl. I might be wrong. And Carl, when you're listening to this, if I'm wrong, you tell me. All right, text me and let me know. And apologies if I am wrong. I think I remember him or someone saying they like the first half more than the second half. There is a point at which this movie changes. It's not Dusk Till Dawn. It's not like that. But there are clearly two halves to this film. There is the one half where the setup and then you've got a payoff. And someone, I thought it might have been Carl, said they preferred the setup rather than the payoff. And I think I agree with that. That's not to say the payoff isn't interesting. This movie's never boring, ever. but the way it is set up is nothing short of revelatory. This is no wonder Carl liked it, because the writing in this, in terms of Hugh Grant and the way he is delivering this, and there's been talk of him, you know, in Oscar buzz for something like this, and I can see why. The writing's fantastic. And you're going to, John, you're going to love it because it's this kind of genre film. But Deej, you're going to love the way you like to debate. Yeah. The way we talked, you know, and how you want to kind of put forward an argument about something. There is a sequence in this, an extended sequence, where Hugh Grant lays out his worldview, which is written very cleverly indeed. I'm not giving any of it away other than it's really good and riveting. Okay. Absolutely bug nuts crazy, but it's riveting. And I think you'll be like just open mouth. And John, as I say, you're going to love it because of the genre trappings and the writing as well. So I did enjoy the setup more than the payoff. I was never bored. I never took my eyes off the screen. And again, this is one of those movies that I think needs to be seen at home. I would not have wanted to see this in a commercial theater with anybody else distracting me. This is a movie to just let the kind of the unsettling unease, uncertainty of what is really happening wash over you without interruption from anybody else. So I did enjoy it. As I said, not as good second half. We'll talk spoilers when you've seen it, guys. But first half, very, very good indeed. So the video. Video is really nice. It's not showy video. It's 2:35. It has, it's never, you're not going to pull this off the shelf and say to someone, look at this. You're never going to do that, but it is good. And when you get to some of the darker scenes, 4K is great for that. Again, HDR, the shadow detail, there are things moving in the detail, in the shadows of this that you're going to want to see. If you haven't got your display properly calibrated, or if you're not watching it in 4K and HDR, you're going to miss a lot of information. So that is good, but it's not a showy video. What is good in particular, though, is the Atmos audio on this. You'd expect the storm to sound good. Of course it does. Again, Ellsworth effect, right? It's going to sound great, and it does. And the thunder rolls around the room, and there's wind and there's rain and everything else. And that all does what you'd expect it to do. But once they're inside the house, where some mixes, most audio mixes, would kind of then just forget about surround sound, this movie embraces it. To the point where there are the track has little kind of clicks and little ticks of stuff of the house moving. There are times where Hugh Grant moves around the back of the camera as he's talking to the two girls, and his voice goes with it. Not all the time, but he does do it. There are all kinds of little things going on, little audio cues. It's a constantly enveloping mix, and it's all designed to unsettle you. It's all designed to be creepy AF. don't ask that Mikey's kids. Yeah. Don't ask. All right.
Hell, so, they're going to tell him.
Yeah. No, man, Dad, honestly. So it's a really clever mix. This is a very intricate sound mix, this one. It's not, there are no explosions, no guns. Damn it. Okay. It's not in Texas. All right. So there are no guns. There's no massive explosions or anything like that. It's an evocative mix. It's an Atmos mix designed to unsettle, and it's really good. Not far off reference, I would say, not a million miles away for a mix that's not designed to be showy. So it's not, and I wouldn't even say like it's like Gravity, because Gravity, I think, is showy at times. It's meant to be drawing your attention to these things, whereas this mix does it in very subtle and very unsettling ways. So this is a great disc of an intriguing movie that when you've seen it, you'll want to talk about it. And I don't know whether the other half would want to see it. Like, guys, I don't know. I mean, I watched this on my own. I'm not sure whether it's one you'd want to necessarily see with Jen or Lydia, because it's a challenging film in a kind of, there's all kinds of potential agency issues and misogynistic issues and all kinds of other things, but there is definitely a discussion to be had. So yeah, recommend this, guy. Sorry, I know I've gone on a bit.
It's really good.
Yeah. And I do recommend it for that. And Hugh Grant's never been better. This is his finest performance by a country mile. He's never been this good. And again, like we were talking about with Harrison Ford, John, you start to think, have we missed a very, very good actor here? Has he been just wrapped up in the rom-coms in the 90s? And then the kind of the silly characters he's been playing of late, because he's got young kids. You know, he's only, you know, married not that long ago. This is all on Smartless as well, isn't it? So he's got three young children, and he's embraced his Paddington roles, you know, that the kind of the off the wall roles. This is pure, you know, acting. Yeah, he's really, really good. So if nothing else, if you're not even intrigued by the premise, just watch it for his delivery of this stuff. There's some amazing writing in this. So recommended all day long, this one. Is it on Clive's stage?
It is.
Yeah. Seems to be hard to get here in 4K.
4K.
It's on disc. Dolby, it's on disc Vision, over there.
Dolby not, Atmos. Not here. $24.99.
Well, at least not on Amazon. There's A24 steelbook exclusive from their website, but it's like $50 bucks.
Whoa.
It's not
$50 bucks.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. That is crazy because it's £25 here, but it's not a steelbook. It's just a normal.
I can import the UK version cheaper than I can buy the steelbook from A24.
Yeah.
It'll cost me $40 bucks to get the UK version. But yeah, it's only on Blu-ray on Amazon. That's $30.
So, I mean, that is a lot. Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a film though. I mean, it might be worth John catching it on streaming somewhere.
I can rent it for $4. Yeah.
Do that. And then just see if that's one that you're then going to want to watch again. Cause it is one to see soon.
I spend $50 on it.
I mean, you know, bear in mind, you can get two other movies for that easy.
Yeah.
Jordan's saying the 4K disc in the US is an A24 shop exclusive.
Even on eBay, it's almost $60. So
That's getting near Lawrence of Arabia money.
We all know how that turned out.
Gravity Diamond Lux.
Right.
Rent it, man, and let me know what you think of it. Because if you rent it in 4K, you know, you'll get your Atmos and you'll get all that stuff. It's on iTunes or whatever it is. Then it's worth it because I want to talk to you about it and see what you think about it. And again, DJ, I mean, obviously when you're ready for this, it's worth it. Don't wait for Halloween because it's not a Halloween kind of movie. This is more thriller than horror, although there's definitely horror elements.
Yeah. But they have it as suspense and horror on Classic.
Yeah, which is fair.
Horror are 150, an hour, 50 minutes, 24. It's been out for a while on Classic. Well, exactly. I remember seeing it come out, and I know I love like A24 films, so I was like, And, you know, obviously just didn't get around to it, but and it's like, I'll tell you where my head's at today. It's like you said, you know, like you're like Hugh Grant was great in this, so I pull it up on Kaleidoscape and I'm looking, and the poster is like, you know, they show Hugh Grant like this or whatever. Yeah. So it's not like the image that we have up right here.
Yeah.
And I'm like looking at it and I'm like, what's set? And then the cast, Hugh Grant, Sophie Thatcher, and Chloe East. That's what it's listed. And I'm like, where's his name? You said Hugh Grant, and my mind went immediately to Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
I don't know why. Hugh. And now I'm pulling it up, looking. I'm like, where's Hugh Jackman? I thought he said he was great in this. And you said Hugh Grant. I'm looking at Hugh Grant. His name is the first, you know, is the lead actor. And I'm still looking for Hugh Jackman. That's like, what an idiot I am.
I'll grant you that.
Yeah, thank you that I'm an idiot. You could grant me that all day every day.
Like, I'll grant you that.
Yes, I got you. I was trying to let you. It go I got you. God bless you. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I do want to talk to you guys about it. This might be another one for our spoiler end credit scene. Hugh Bonneville. Hugh Laurie.
Hugh Laurie. Love Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, but this might be one for our special end credit scene that we introduced last week, you know, a very lengthy end credit scene. But this could be one to talk about because it is intriguing. And I want to know what you guys make of the second half as well, and whether you'd kind of with it or maybe not. This is one you could do a whole show on. You really could. Ooh. And again, a bit like Travis Bolstad's absolute favorite, Asriel.
yeah.
It's one that can be taken a number of ways and has very clear religious overtones. So yeah, Travis says he loved Heretic, but was disappointed with Asriel. Travis, honestly. Exactly. So,
what
yeah,
it does is Travis know?
A lot.
I know. More than me.
So I'd be, this is one I'd like to talk to you guys about. I'd be really curious to see what you make of this. I think you'll be interested, if nothing else. huge ass.
You weren't supposed to say it.
Oh, sorry.
Travis with a.
Well, the thing is, until Steve just said it out loud, I didn't get it.
You didn't get it?
I was like, I don't know who that is.
It's the Jerky Boys jokes. It's
exactly. Simpsons, isn't it? Isn't that the ones that Bart Simpson rings through to most?
I think the Jerky Boys were around before the Simpsons, though, if I remember it. Those audio tapes.
Oh, okay. That's the one where he rings up for IP freely and huge ass BO problem.
Oh, okay. Before we go off the rails, you ready to get to this week's feature? Because it's the one we've all seen. It's the only one I've seen.
It rhymes.
Oh my God. I'm trying to tease it. Giving it all away. Giving it away for free. They go, why do we even rehearse?
Say it to yourself, John.
Exactly. You could say any of them with Hugh. It's like, Hugh, this one you could say. Yeah. Jordan's a humongous.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
All right. Yeah, let's get that. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm thinking of him in my – no, forget it. John. Oh, God. I was like, till you said it.
I just didn't register.
Oh, yeah. Well, it does now.
It does now.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready to get to this week?
It's just a shame you haven't got the shop still, John, man. I'd be ringing you up, making all kinds of like, can I speak to Mr. Sea Lion, please?
Exactly. Is your refrigerator running? Like, you gotta catch it.
Yeah. Can I speak to Mr. Wall, please? Mrs. Wall, little Wall. How are you keeping your ceiling up then?
Yeah.
Wall's
anyway.
Here.
Yeah. No.
Oh, boy. Oh, yeah.
You boys.
Yep. That's just
boys
it.
Boys being the operative word.
Yeah. Oh, you boys. Yeah, we never grow up.
No.
So, all right. Here we go.
Sorry for that.
We're talking Reacher. Reacher. That's just Reacher, not... I'm leaving this all alone.
just Reacher.
We're not getting around to Reacher.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. All right. Reacher season 3, now on Amazon Prime. First, did they drop all 3 at once? I wasn't sure if I caught that correctly.
Yeah, 3 episodes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All 3 episodes dropped, what, last Thursday or Friday, something like that? Alan Richson. I could not wait for this to drop. This is one that I was really looking forward to. I've really enjoyed the first two and hoping they do drop on Kaleidoscape because they did. Amazon did do that last time. The first two are out, but they're only out in HD. They don't put them out in 4K. Mm-hmm. This is in 4K.
It's 4K with Atmos, actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it? Mine wasn't.
If you pay for the upgraded Amazon Prime.
I get Amazon with Atmos. For some reason, I was getting, at first, I was just getting 2-channel. Then it was like funky, and then all of a sudden it kicked in. So I don't know if it was
definitely. I mean, it's not great Atmos, but it is Atmos.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So. Steve and I teased it a lot last night. in the morning show today, we teased it a bit. Home theater wise, like John just said, it's like, I feel like it's good. It's fine.
It's fine.
Doesn't need to be watched in your theater, as I said last night. It's got a nice picture, nice sound, but it doesn't lend itself to, you know, it has some action scenes, but
there's definitely guns and explosions, but
yeah. Yeah. But It's not one that has to be watched in your theater, but if you do, it will be enhanced a little bit. Is that fair to say? It's like,
yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. It's not like, oh, gotta see it. Those explosions are great. And story is much like the first two. They get you intrigued right from jump. As Steve and I said earlier, it was like, you don't even get it. And then, of course, it's Reacher. He's smarter than we are.
Yeah, and, the first episode, I was like, well, that's a big departure for Reacher.
That's what Steve and I said, yeah.
But yeah. Without spoiling anything, yeah.
You know, super, super fast. It's like, how is he in this position? Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like he changed a lot.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's all explained pretty quickly, as Steve and I said this morning. Like, all right, there we go. I get that. Makes sense. Now we're, you know. But yeah, it's really looking forward to the rest of the season. Three episodes, I was kind of disappointed because, like I said, I wasn't really paying attention, wasn't sure what was dropping, and I don't know. My mind isn't right, and I'm like, oh, I'm just keep on going. And then at the end of three, I was like, oh, it's one of those.
Yeah.
Didn't they drop them all at once before? Didn't they drop them all at once?
I don't know.
They've always done this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. I must have just watched it all at once.
Like, not that they'll ever change their release strategy, but – I get it with season one of a show. Drop multiple episodes, get you hooked, and then you go weekly after that. By season three, it's like you're already on board. It's like give me one at a time or give me all eight. But don't give me three or four and then make me go week to week. You know? I know why they do it for first seasons of shows, because generally the arc doesn't start to reveal itself till – you know, two or three episodes, but you know, by season two and season three, it's like, just give me one at a time. I don't need three of them.
Yeah.
Give me all of them. Like you said, do one or the other, but don't give me, you know, like what did I watch recently? Oh, Jackal a few months ago. It was like 10 episodes, but they gave you 5 episodes right off the jump. So you think you're getting the whole thing. And then I get to the end of episode 5 and there was nothing left. I was like, oh crap, where's the rest of this? It's like, is it over? Like, that doesn't seem like the end of the story. And then I had to wait week to week. It's like, why do that? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like, it's the benefit of these streaming services to keep you on the hook longer, not short.
Right.
Well, at least you get beyond your week's free trial.
Exactly. Like, or like, if it's 8 episodes, you got me for 2 months. Don't, you know.
Why are you shortening that?
Why are you shortening it? Like, I don't know what they did. Amazon, they did that animated one, the D&D one. Vox Machina or whatever. It's 12 episodes, but they give you 3 a week for 4 weeks in a row.
Right.
Like, well, you could have me for 3 months paying for your service instead of 1 month. Why are you doing that? You know,
so. There must be an algorithm somewhere, isn't there?
A study that they see, like, people wait until 3 episodes and then they'll be like, okay, I heard it's pretty good, so I'll start here. Yeah. So they really don't get that. And then they drop out because everything's no penalties to drop and pick up.
No, or, you know, you just wait till,
or you wait till
all 8 of them have come out and then you sign up for a week's trial and get them all that way. But I don't know. It always seems like it's to their benefit to keep you on the hook longer. Not shorter. And they're always in such a rush to get 8 or 10 episodes done in like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah. It is odd. I mean, I would like them all at once. I want to blast through this. It's kind of, you know, you just want to keep going with it. I got to the end of three and I'm like, oh, come on. You know, let's just keep going. Just, you know, if you're going to give me three, give me it all. Absolutely. But no, it's good. I am enjoying it. We said last night, I like that it's more jokey, I think, this one than the other two. You know, there are, you know, jokes in it. There is humor in it. You know, there are sight gags, you know, in a Reacher, you know, thing. And I'm referring to the t-shirt we talked about last night. I won't spoil what's on there, but the t-shirt she gives him and they deliberately show him from the neck up until they do a mid shot. And then you realize what shirt she's given him. Right. And it's genuinely funny. It's like, oh, okay, right. Oh, I like that. That's a fun way of doing it. And that's kind of undercutting Reacher as a character. And yeah, I think it's good. I do need some of the jokes explained to me, as we discovered as well. And accent issues aside, it is enjoyable, and I think it's going places. It looks like it's going to resolve itself, you know, really well. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying it. I think it's good, and it's certainly not showing signs of losing steam. You know, we're not kind of running out of interest in the character. He's still, I think we all were a bit jarred by the opening. And I think everyone, but then that's the point though, isn't it? I think it's deliberate to make you think, hang about, what's going on here? This is weird.
Yeah.
And then it's the, I'm in. Oh, okay. Fine. Right. That all makes sense. I quite like that little switcheroo. That's quite a fun little thing to do. You're literally playing with your audience, knowing that everyone is doing what we were doing, which is, this is all a bit quick and a bit weird, and that's not Reacher. What the hell?
Right.
And then, you know, what happens, happens. So yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's good. It's really good. And funny enough, did you say about, I didn't have a chance to tell you last night, or this morning even. Although it was this morning over here when we finished. So it was literally this morning. I watched the second episode and most of the third one on the glasses. I was in the car. Not driving. I was waiting. I had some time, and I thought, you know what? I'm going to watch it. And I put the seat back, and I anchored the screen to the top of the car. Right. So 147 inch screen anchored to the thing. I was able to just sit back and just kind of experience it there. And the Bose audio. So with the spatial audio, it's absolutely fine. You know, really fun experience. And you're seeing this giant screen. And it was great. Yeah, really, it really resolves well on this sort of big screen.
What I want to see is Alan Richardson at 147 inch screen.
Yeah, looking right down on you as you're let down.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Okay. I do like the idea of laying back, putting the screen up on the ceiling and, you know, maybe not Alan Richardson, you know, I don't know where I'm going.
Underworld John again. Does. Yeah. We back to Underworld again, Deej.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do you, Steve.
I think it's you, mate.
You do me?
I'm the one who said I didn't like it.
Ah, yeah.
But it's, but it was cool, man. And again, another really cool thing of these things. So I was able to watch it like that and actually had a really good experience. You know, seeing it that way. It doesn't need to be seen in the theater. If you've got a way, you know, you can watch this kind of anywhere. And I think they know that a lot of people do.
I happily watch this in the bed, you know, on the TV in the bedroom or something and not feel like I was missing anything.
But very cool.
That's what I ended up doing.
Yeah.
That's what I ended up having to do. It wasn't the overwhelming because of sound. It literally was because of the picture. Like I said, it's just too bright. And I'm like, oh, there we go. I'm out. So moved up to the upstairs. But again, it's like I've been through the seasons and it's not. And even what I was experiencing down there before at Reference, it wasn't exactly like you didn't feel like you were missing something where there are other series where even Jack Ryan, I would say, would be a better one. That's an Amazon.
Which
comparable.
Had great audio.
And John and I are going to say it had great audio because we worked really hard to get that in Atmos.
That was a pain. That season one was
years, not even joking, years of trial and error in different.
I don't even know what the problems were that we were having with that. But
no. Yes, that had good audio. And that's one of those, I didn't watch the series until I could get the Atmos right.
Right.
Mm. You know what I mean? And I hadn't even seen it yet. I just wanted to make sure I got it. And this one, having obviously seen it before, I was like, I'm not missing anything. I'm going upstairs. And you know. But Steve, what was the homework I gave you this morning? You had a question to ask me. I was going to segue into that. You forgot.
Somebody asked it in the chat a while back too. But
what was it? What are you looking forward to? Wasn't it something? Is that the one?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So what series am I looking forward to? Being and watching. I'm probably going to be watching it upstairs, but a series that I can't wait to. I'll watch the entire series if I have to upstairs. I can't wait to get down to the theater and I will happily rewatch the series. John's got to know what it is. dropping soon.
Not the Penguin.
Dropping next week?
I think so. Yeah.
Daredevil.
Not,
Daredevil.
Mm. Daredevil drops next week.
Yeah. March 4th, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we get two episodes, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Two episodes, day one, early morning, redoing my get up early, watch that.
How many episodes in the series?
I thought it was a lot. Like, isn't it like 15 or something?
Are they going back to that? Well, that's their roots. Remember, they started with 15.
Let me look and see. But I think it's quite a bit.
Daredevil Born Again, 2025. They're counting it as a whole new series.
18 episodes, guys.
18, right?
Well, 18. It's probably listing maybe they probably have season one.
Oh, yeah.
They probably have the first couple for season two.
Yeah, it's nine.
It's nine.
Nine each.
Season one, episode nine, and then they have season two.
Oh, see, but I thought it was all one season. Originally, it was supposed to be like 15 or 18 episodes for one season.
Yeah, that's what it was originally, and they dropped all at once on Netflix. And that was, you know, going back, you know, way back to – you know, Brightside Chat days.
Change that, yeah.
John and I would debate that. He wanted everything dropped all at once. And I was like, no, I want them to, because everybody was just dropping them all at once. And then who was it? Somebody first started dropping, maybe it was HBO or something, and how they did like, even did, Game of Thrones was once a week, you know. But they weren't a streaming service then. They were still just a cable network. But yeah, John and I used to we argued about it all the time. And John was like, I want them all at once. And I was like, I actually took and I did Daredevil season one a day, but they were all there. I'd watch one and then go to work. Right. And it was like,
I kind of go back and forth on that too.
Sometimes
it seems to depend on the show. Like some shows I just want to get all of it and get through it. And other ones I'm okay. You know, I don't mind waiting a week in between episodes. But
yeah,
it certainly looks like it's going to be a prime show. And bearing in mind that they reshot it. I mean, they'd started filming it, hadn't they? They got what, five episodes in the can?
Oh, really?
And then they were like, let's do this again. We're going back to square one. And they then went right back and shot it all again. I mean, I wonder where all that footage is, but anyway, not that we'll ever get to see
it. You know, I loved Daredevil and he was super serious. But, you know, in She-Hulk, he wasn't super serious. Mm. So I'm not quite sure what I want out of this show.
He wasn't.
You know what I mean?
But also not in Spider-Man either. No, you know, No Way Home or Far From Home, whatever it is.
I kind of want him to be a little bit more light, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to get that in this.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how he's going to be.
I think this is hard R. This is, as she would say in Reacher season three. I think this is a full on thing. Yeah, I think so. Which is great I don't mind that. I look forward to that. You know, after you've seen the hallway fight in season one, you don't want him to now go back to kind of, you know, softly. You want it to be more the raid and less.
And I don't want him to, I don't want it to be like watered down Daredevil, but I'm hoping that his personality is a little bit, I don't know, looser than.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what tone they go for. I mean, the trailers are all ultra serious, aren't they? This is all.
I haven't watched any of them. I've kind of stayed away from the trailers.
Oh, okay. Well, there's a conversation between Kingpin and him, and, you know, and again, it's like, why did you give up? But, you know, and he's like, well, you know, something happened. And you're like, oh, you know, kind of, I went, something, you know, the devil was out or something like that. And it's all ultra, ultra, like the first, you know, two, three seasons from Netflix. It's that tone rather than She-Hulk. They seem to be written. And again, of course, the other thing is, you know, Kingpin in Hawkeye was kind of lighter as well. He wasn't completely, you know, horrible as he is in 1, 2, and 3 of Daredevil. Well, 1 and 2 anyway. I don't know about 3. I never saw 3. But he's back to watch out in this, you know, he's back to the no one messes with me or else. So I think that's the tone they're going for. We never know. They might try and switch it up. You know, it might be that it's a misdirect a little bit. But that's not the impression you get from the trailers.
So are you saying you didn't see season 3 of Daredevil?
I don't think I did. I saw 1 and 2. In fact, I know I didn't. I saw 1 and 2. And then I've got 1 and 2
season of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
By the time I'd seen
Season three of Daredevil is one of the best seasons of any show I've ever seen.
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, right. It's on Disney good. Plus now, isn't it?
It's still there. Yeah. It's definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're all there.
I don't know if it'll back into, like, I don't know if you need to see it for this show, but it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I think one problem with it was it had we had one and two, didn't we? Then we had the Punisher series. Right. We had Jessica Jones, didn't we? The Defenders. And I didn't like either of those. I'm one of the people that didn't like Jessica Jones, you know, like Andor. Everyone loves it. I just didn't.
Yeah,
I thought David Tennant was not good in it. And so I never finished that. And I never finished.
I mean, Defenders. I agree with Defenders.
Defenders was Luke Cage was as well. And so by the time we get Daredevil season three, I'm done with them. I never even finished the Punisher series. I love the Punisher as a character. So by the time Daredevil season three came around, I was done with the Netflix Marvel shows. I'm like, it's too much filler. It feels like homework. I feel like I'm having to watch it, not because I want to. Whereas Daredevil season one and two was great. They were enjoyable. I liked those. But as I said, by the time three came around, I was done with all the others and. Yeah, but all right, I'll give it a go. Yeah, I'll give it a watch. In between Big Bang Theory.
Yeah,
there you go. Wow, talk about two ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, like
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, this is one though that it does set itself up for huge disappointment though as well.
It does, yeah,
because it's been so long. The series was so good, and like John said, like how many series build to season three being the best season, you know, in this kind of series, right? Where it's, you know, season one was, I consider it like revolutionary for comic book. Like where we didn't have that before this. And then it was like, oh my God, look at what they're doing. And I remember that was 2015, if I remember right. And I remember thinking even back then, like people are watching this on their laptops. This needs to be seen in the theater. And this was like that it's one of my favorite scenes is that scene around the taxi cab in season one. I think it's like episode five or something like that. And it's like, it goes right around your room. And I remember seeing that. And I've used that so many times on this show that it's like people are watching this on their laptops. It's like, and it has a 5:1 mix and you're like, it's just awesome. By season three, it was in Atmos. And it was integrated into the MCU. They used the backdrop, and that was big back then.
Well, and it always kind of was. They just, because they always would refer to the event.
Or exactly.
This, you know, it was always there, but never.
They had the
really,
newspaper clippings on, Ben's wall, right?
To integrate. Yeah, this show does have the potential, like, this is a tricky for Disney, right? Because it's almost like if they go too hard into the Netflix version, there could be a lot of pushback and criticism. But also if they're too far away from it, there's you know, because doing the same actors and the same cast, you know, it's a risk because, you know, Daredevil was kind of loved from Netflix.
And kinda.
If they screw it up, this is going to be a lot of pushback. So I don't know. Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. I think people are on edge. Yeah. Like, I think everybody wants to love it, but at the same time, it's been so long and there's a chance of people just being like,
where did we see him? Was it Echo? Was it Echo the show where we had Daredevil as well? Right.
Yep. He was in Echo. Yeah. He was in,
and he wasn't super, he was pretty serious in that show.
Far From Home? The last one?
Yeah.
The last one? He was in that.
Yeah, but just as Matt, right? Like, you didn't get...
Yeah, you didn't get Daredevil. Yeah,
no.
Yeah. But we had Daredevil full on in Echo. Right. And...
Yeah, and She-Hulk. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And She-Hulk.
Mm. Yeah.
So he's been around. He's been around.
I mean, remember in Far From Home and the trailers and everything, and we're just all speculating. That's him. That's Matt. That's like the arm on the table and the sleeve rolled up. And of course they do the shell game or okie doke. Like you're like, oh no, when you see the movie, it wasn't him. And you're like, oh, it wasn't him. And then bam, there he is. He shows up at the kitchen table. They did that on purpose. There's no doubt about it. You know, they're like, we're not going to show you who it is. And I mean, I remember getting screen grabs and other people looking at it. You're trying to look at the reflection in the, you know, interrogation room window and be like, is that Matt Murdock? It's like, you know, cause we just wanted him back so bad. You know, Charlie Cox is so good. It's like, he's literally, like, really is, like, you know, like Robert Downey Jr. to Tony Stark. He's, you know, Charlie Cox just owned.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He just owned Daredevil.
Yeah, he does.
Well, then Jordan's saying Echo featured Kingpin, not Daredevil. Am I wrong? Did Daredevil and Echo not fight in Echo?
Oh, I didn't
or am
see
I
it.
Thinking I of something Echo, completely sure. different?
Hmm.
Like, I thought so. They actually had a fight scene in that show, but maybe I'm completely wrong. Maybe I'm thinking of a comic book or something.
Yeah.
I thought so too. But I really thought he was in that show.
Who did he fight? I could have sworn that wasn't in She-Hulk, was it? When he fought in like that warehouse type situation?
Maybe, I don't know.
You know the one I'm talking about?
He was in it. Daredevil was in Echo, Paul Hurd saying.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, right?
Yeah.
They had a fight scene. A whole. Because it's, you know, the deaf character and the blind character and, you know, one right. can't.
Yeah, you just get Helen Keller walk through and we're golden.
Okay, I was thinking maybe I'm I watched a completely different show, but I thought he
yeah.
was.
Mm. Yeah. No, I remember the fight scene and it's like, and I felt like that fight scene was to demonstrate Echo's strength.
They were both. Right. Yeah. He said, my bad. So, okay. So they were, yeah, you're okay as you were.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we all know what a good fighter Daredevil is.
Right.
You know, and how strong and, you know, resilient and everything like that. And then for us to see, you know, Echo standing up and going toe to toe with him, you're like, oh, right. Okay. Well, it was a great way to, you know, display her skills quickly in a show and also give us all like, oh boy.
Yeah.
And then the rest, like, you know, never showed up again.
Yeah. I was gonna say it wasn't a lot, but
no.
Nope. All right, guys, just looking at the time, fellas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This is me 3 days in a row on the show.
I know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. 3 days in a row. Is it just, yeah, it's just
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Now it's 9 minutes past midnight on a Thursday morning.
There you go. Look at that.
It's like another 25 hour episode.
Yeah. Well, this is 36 if we're going 3 days in a row.
Yeah. Well, Steve didn't talk. We didn't talk straight.
We could have done.
We took a few hours off. But
alrighty.
All right. Oh. Thank you, Steve. Appreciate all the time. John, you're all right.
Yeah. I'm
John, I gotta talk to your agent. I gotta get you on a Takeover Tuesday.
Yeah.
You've never been on a Takeover Tuesday.
Have your people speak to his people.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. That's so funny. I'm like, I swear it was, but yeah, you're right. We did Star Wars events. We did other
stuff. Yeah, like I said, I've done other shows, but I don't think
a couple here and there.
Done a specific Takeover Tuesday episode. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, we featured your theater.
I'm an open book. I don't feel like there's anything that people need to know more about me. So.
Do a Takeover Tuesday Deej with the pigeons.
Yeah. It's like, I'm out here on my deck. Oh boy. All right. Let's get Steve to bed. Everybody. Thank you. Thanks to all my Patreon supporters. There is an after show. I sent out the link earlier on Patreon, not much more than an hour ago while we were doing the show. I kept forgetting to do. I almost forgot to put the show out. That's what I was going to do last night, and I kind of got taken away. Mm-hmm. So, yes, thank you, everybody, for understanding and support. All the support in the chat. Thank you. All the support all along. Really appreciate it. We will be back. I don't know what we're doing for our Takeover Tuesday next week. Maybe it's John. I don't know.
We'll see.
By the look on his face.
I'll show a 4K copy of Heretic.
And boy. Yeah. Wow. He has high standards.
That's right. I could ask for, you know, Lawrence of Arabia. So
you already own it. Yeah. Yeah. But you want to sell it. I get it. I know your game.
And then buy Heretic.
So any of the patrons want to join me over on the chat, I'll be there for a little bit. All that good stuff. Thank you, everybody. $1 a month. If everybody gave it, we could all retire. Thank you very much. Have a great week. You know what you gotta do.
Go push play. What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.